We're back once again. Yeah. You still have your volume on. I can hear it.
I can.
Stop it. so distracting.
Oh, fucking sensitive.
Well, it's like it's distracting, like trying to talk and then like hearing something else in my other ear.
See.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I couldn't hear it.
Well,
I couldn't hear it. I'm not sensitive.
You must be deafer than I am, even though I'm pretty damn deaf.
Who comes running in the door?
Hi, Pokey. What are you doing? She's gonna come up here.
Don't jump up here.
Please don't jump up here. Like, you can go over there and sit, but please don't like sit up.
So last night was a pretty good show.
Yeah, we had a good time. I can't believe it went on for almost 5 hours. Good thing. I guess it's a good thing that we didn't do your 10 cases like I was originally gonna do. We'd have been here all night.
You always do that shit.
Well, because I thought
15 cases.
Because I thought the cases were like were shorter than they were. But then, like, when I went back through and like, you know, read through them, I was like, nah, I guess we can get enough material.
You got me on the show. I'll stretch that shit out. Fucking.
That's true. He'll just like
three times.
And then he gets on my case for like not ending the show. Like, oh, you take too long to end it.
Yeah,
even though he's the one that's making the show go on.
No, I'm not making it go on.
Yeah, you are
trying to blame me. What you doing, Poop? She's trying to attack pitchers and shit.
Well, like I said, I think because one of her Christmas presents is in one of those boxes.
Yeah,
and she can probably smell it. Well, I got her some new.
All right.
I got her some new Minties.
Looks like everybody's in the.
Because she loves those little Minty toys.
Everybody's in the chat.
She likes to rub them on her face. But she, you know, I get Beijing likes them too. So I buy them from Chewy and then. They like them so much that they get, like, really, really dirty, like, really quickly. Because they pick them up in one hand and they're like, ah, and they're, like, eating it and stuff. And then, like, you find it later. It's all, like, grubby looking.
Badger says that he's got a greatest paranormal investigation show. It's called Paranormal Porn Star.
I would watch that, not going to lie.
What channel is that on?
I mean...
Starring Belladonna, her ass is haunted.
That's still my favorite porn movie title of all time.
Your ass is haunted. My ass is haunted. I think let's go.
Yeah, that's the name of the movie. My ass is haunted. I don't think I've seen it, but we are talking about... Now, somebody actually recommended that we watch this. I knew we would probably get around to it eventually because, you know, it's Netflix and it's a new horror movie that they added. This is called Ghosts of War from 2020.
Yeah.
Now, it's weird because... Okay, so this was directed by the same guy, Eric Bress, that directed The Butterfly Effect.
Oh, really?
But that movie didn't come out... That came out, like, back in 2004.
I remember that.
And I guess this was... Yeah, that wasn't a bad movie. Ashton Kutcher
2000... That? Butterfly Effect... Oh, wait a minute. I'm getting confused.
Yeah. What are you thinking
I thought there was
of?
A Butterfly Effect back from the 90s.
I don't think
Wasn't
so.
There one?
This one came out, and I'm pretty sure this came out in 2004. The Butterfly Effect. Right. I think it Ashton Kutcher was in it. If I'm thinking of the right one, like I remember it being like a pretty decent movie.
Because I thought there was a Butterfly Effect one about a mailman who comes back from Vietnam War, and then he's having these flashbacks about something that happened in Korea, and then he's seeing freaky shit. And then it turns out he was part of that fucking CIA experiment with all the hallucinogens. I think it was called Butterfly Effect.
You sure you're not thinking of Jacob's Ladder?
Might have been Jacob's Ladder. That's what I'm thinking of, Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, that's a totally different movie.
I don't know why. For some reason I thought that might have been called Butterfly Effect.
Jacob's Ladder came out in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they did a remake of it last year, was okay, but not great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yeah.
But this one... Okay, so that guy hadn't actually directed a movie since 2004. I think he did write a couple of the Final Destination movies, which are also kind of a lot of fun because of all the creative deaths and everything. But I guess this is the first movie he directed since then. Now, it's interesting because, like, when we were watching this movie, like, I really dug this movie.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
But then, like, when I went and read the reviews, it's really weird because it seemed like most of the, like, general critics that just kind of, like, review everything, like, pretty much liked it. But the horror-specific people hated it.
Fuck them.
And I'm not really sure why. It's like, fuck here's them. The thing. I don't... Okay. So this is a new movie, so I don't want to spoil it.
I know why they didn't like it.
It's hard to talk about without spoiling it.
Can't spoil it.
But I think that that's why. Because if you are not on board with this... Yeah. Because near the end of the movie, this takes a hard left turn and like doesn't... It has, like, a big, huge twist ending. And if you don't like that twist ending, then this is going to piss you off.
Here's the setup. This small team of U.S. soldiers in World War II, they're in France fighting the Germans. And they get stationed to take over this little outpost. And when they get there, it turns out it's a haunted house.
Yeah.
And they do an investigation.
It's just like a big manor house.
Big mansion.
Yeah.
Now, while I'm watching it, I was enjoying it. The edit was good. It was moving right along. The acting was good. I was looking at it, and I was going, there's something not quite right with those uniforms. They're supposed to be 82nd, but on their helmets, they have kind of like the regimental insignia from the 101st.
Yeah, I saw someone else commenting on another review of it that noticed the same thing.
Yeah, they're in 82nd Airborne uniforms in terms of the patches on the uniform, but you looked at the helmet, it said that was the symbol of fucking, I think, the 506 or maybe like the 50 Deuce, which is a spade. I think it was 50 Deuce at that time. I don't remember. Because I think 327 was clubs. Anyway, I'm going like, that's the wrong fucking helmet. And then there were also things that cut, you know, because I'm kind of an asshole when it comes to this kind of shit. I'm kind of a stickler.
No.
I'm not going, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They're still in France, which means they haven't been there long.
Yeah, because it was 1944, yeah. Like they said at the beginning.
Yeah, and the 82nd was issued elbow and knee pads. And where were their fucking knee pads? Most of them, you know what I mean? And they also were issued a uniform that was kind of like a very early OD Green BDU style uniform. They weren't wearing that. They were wearing just regular dress shirt, pants. And it was almost kind of like the only thing they were missing was the tie, kind of like their Class B uniform. It wasn't really the combat uniform for that time. And then later on, they start saying some things which are anachronistic. One of the dudes is fucking lying, telling this war story about Hitler Youth that he killed. Well, they just got there. He's just in France. He hasn't been to Germany yet. There are no Hitler Youth in France. What the fuck's he talking about? So I was kind of dinging the movie on all this shit.
Because it's like, this seems like it would be really easy.
It's like there's some anachronism.
Well, and one thing I noticed too, I'm not sure if you caught this one.
He was talking about fucking quantum. He talks about quantum entanglement.
Yeah,
there was no quantum entanglement in the 40s.
But one thing I don't know if you noticed this or not, but one of the characters was talking about his favorite werewolf movies, and the second one he mentioned was I Was a Teenage Werewolf.
Oh, that's 50s.
Which didn't come out until the 1950s.
Yeah.
But so,
it's explained later on.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, like I said, I don't really want to spoil it too much, but how you feel about this movie is going to have a lot to do with how you feel about the twist ending. Because I feel like a lot of, like, the horror guys that I watch, like, really, really did not fuck with that twist ending. They just really did not like it. I was not bothered by it at all. And honestly, like, up until then, I thought, it's really weird because the house where they shot this, I'm not sure where it is, but it the inside of it kind of reminded me of the place where they shot, like, Haunting of Hill House. Like, it looked very similar, like, with that big, you know, open space with, like, the big staircase and shit. I don't think it's the same one, but it looked like that. And up until then, like, I really, really liked the way that was shown. It's not, you know, the haunted house part of it is not, like, real original. Like, the ghosts kind of, like, you know, look the same. And it's basically, like, there was, I guess the ghost story behind it is, like, there was a French family that lived that were hiding some Jews, and, like, the Nazis came and, like, did all this horrible stuff to the family, and they're the ghosts that have been haunting the shit. So it's, like, kind of this mystery they're trying to figure that out. But that's not really, you know, I thought that was, like, really well done, but it's not, like, a super original. It's just, like, a pretty generic, like, haunted house story. I think the strength of the movie is the characters and, like, the interaction between the characters. I recognized, like, a bunch of the actors. The one guy that was in it, I can't remember what his character's name was, but it was the same guy that played Shades on Luke Cage, right?
Yeah.
And I think the main actor, he was on some, like, DC Universe show, Titans, or I don't remember what the fuck he was on. But all of the actors in here looked, like, familiar, you know what I mean? From different series. And I really liked the rapport they had with each other, and I liked that they were distinct characters, but they didn't get bogged down, like, in a lot of exposition or anything like that. They just seemed to have, like, an easy camaraderie, like they would. Also, good gore effects in this. And I think it was all practically done, at least the gore was. Like, you know, was seeing, you know, limbs getting blown off and shit like that. They all, like, look really good. And I really liked the, you know, the art direction, like the interior and the inside of the house and everything. I love that, like, that blue green kind of thing. And then it's got, like, you know, bits of red and like yellow and stuff like that. I think that looks really super cool.
It was a good movie. You just don't want to know much going into it. Just don't. Just watch it. It's,
yeah, because I didn't know
World War II haunted house movie.
Because I didn't know that it was going to have a big twist ending.
Right.
But when that happened, I was just kind of like, oh,
yeah,
it's explained.
Sense. Yeah.
And this definitely seems. I can see how if you're not on board with the twist, and you know, people will just be like, oh, fuck that. You know what I mean? Like, I can see that, but I didn't have that reaction.
It's hinting at time loops and shit too. You know what I
mean?
It all works out in the end of the movie. You gotta go, okay, that's why.
And I do feel like this is one that I think would be even better, like, if you watched it a second time, because then you would like pick up all the clues. Because there was definitely like clues that were sprinkled throughout the movie about like what was really going on.
So somebody else noticed the
yeah,
the
like
problems
I was,
with the uniforms.
There was a bunch of horror channels like covered this, because like I said, it's Netflix, so you know, everybody, all the horror channels are going to cover it. I can't remember which one it was. Maybe it was Bloodbath and Beyond or something like that. But somebody in the comments like did say something about noticing that.
The U.S. had two fucking airborne divisions, the 82nd and the 101st. They were kind of sister divisions. But the 101st, which I was in at that time, was a glider unit instead of parachute units. And the motif for the division, even to this day, is gambling. Everything is the houses of cards and dice.
Yeah.
And so all your units, all their symbology is about gambling. So, you know, you see all these fucking hokey-ass movies with guys with spades on their helmets. Like, that is only fucking one regiment inside the 101st.
Yeah, because
there's
like
also
their
clubs, diamonds, and hearts. And then there's dice. Usually the unit patches and the symbols. If it's 506, it's the five on the die is zero with the fucking dice showing six. So there's all, our numbers are all hidden in these pictures. It's pretty cool. The idea was to confuse the shit out of the enemy. How many of them are there? There isn't 506 fucking regiments. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There isn't 101 divisions. You just, the numbers are all random numbers to make the army seem much bigger than it is.
Well, don't tell everybody. Yeah. Now that you blow
the
secret.
Oh, that's old.
They did that. I'm just kidding.
They were doing that shit. They were doing that shit in the American Civil War.
Yeah.
It's part of the old camouflage. You capture paperwork from the enemy, and they're talking about the 88th Division and the 82nd Division and this. Well, fuck, how many divisions are there? Well, there might only be 20. But it sounds like there's fucking 500 of them, you know? But that's just the game.
Well, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody said that one of the guys in this movie, Brenton Thwaites, was in The Signal, which actually, I don't think we ever reviewed that, but that actually is like a really decent movie. I think you can watch it. You might be able to watch it on Tubi. I think that's where I watched it. Now, Fourth Row Down said, yeah, it's a good movie, but the twist went a little too far for me. Like, I get that. I get that because it really does kind of come out of nowhere. Cause I was like, for a second, I was just kind of like, wait, what? You know what I mean? But once I kind of got into it and then they kind of explained like what was going on and, like I said, I really, really don't want to spoil it. It's really, really hard to talk about without spoiling it. But it didn't bother me. Like, it was jarring, like, at first, because I'm like, wait, what the fuck is going on suddenly?
It made more sense, though.
But then, like, once you, like, listen to everyone's dialogue and, like, once they, like, explained it and everything, you know, it definitely did make a lot of sense. And like I said, it made me want to watch it a second time. Oh, also, Billy Zane is in this.
Yeah, that's right. I didn't expect him.
He looks
There's
like
a lot of good firefight scenes, World War II firefight scenes, but they're moving awful fast and they're awful fucking a lot of luck involved in them, but it's all explained in the end.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I think they did a really good job with this. Like I said, I really liked, you know, the creepy haunted house shit at the beginning, and then like after the twist when it goes like in a totally different direction.
Yeah.
I actually really, really liked it. And I was really surprised by the negative reviews. Like I said, it seemed like a lot of the negative reviews were mostly coming from like the hardcore horror dudes.
It's a lot like Jacob's Ladder. It's one of those kind of twists in a way.
Yeah, because at one point, one of the characters, like in the first like three quarters of the movie, references the Ambrose Bierce story, an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge. I always say it like that. So if you know that story, you might kind of get an idea of, not exactly what the twist is, but, you know, you kind of get an idea of, like, what is going on, kind of. Which, yeah. I've used, if, you know, Jacob's Ladder, I guess you could kind of say the same thing. Because an occurrence at Owl Creek Bridge was, I don't know if it was the first story to use that trope, where, you know, obviously, I'm just, you know, I'm not worried about spoiling Jacob's Ladder, because that came out back in the 90s. But that trope where, you know, everything that happens in the movie is just like the last thoughts of somebody that's dying or whatever. Yeah. So maybe that Ambrose Bierce story was the first one to do that, but it's certainly one of the most famous ones, because I remember reading it in school, and we watched there was like a movie made of it. It was not like a feature length movie, it's a short film. But yeah, so somebody references that in this too. So that's, like I said, another kind of clue. Yeah. But like I said, that's not exactly what's going on, but
yeah.
Sort of. But yeah, so I guess it's Sunday, and we're kind of tired.
Yeah, Pookie's over here biting.
Pookie's biting?
Yeah, she was biting.
Was she biting the chair?
Bite my hand.
Oh, she's biting your hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was...
She tries to get me to play, and I can bite.
She's like, come on, Daddy. No, yeah. She just, like, bites very softly. Yeah. All right, so we will be back again tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel, talking about another movie, which we've actually already watched, but I'm not going to... spoil it. It's going to be a surprise. I like that. So, yeah, thanks you guys for stopping by, and we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.